And this is the whole thing around shame. People, most people, and that was me back then, are so afraid of, but if I share that people didn't buy or that my content isn't converting, will they still see me as the authority?
Oh,
You
yeah.
know? And that was the thing, because just like many people in the online space, we've all been taught and brainwashed that the authority means that you are perfect. You are the full embodiment of the transformation, which means that you have all of the answers. And that puts so much pressure on us, which then actually doesn't make us great leaders and mentors.
Welcome to this interview with one of my mentors, Emily Huberts. I'm thrilled to have Emily on the podcast, and this is such a great conversation about evolving in your business, going through transitions, pivoting, but not really pivoting, but rebuilding from the inside out, and so much more. And what you have to know about Emily is she's a business mentor focused on branding and content. And I honestly don't know anybody who is more brilliant at producing, creating the most fabulous content that also, surprise, surprise, attracted me. This is a lengthier interview, so if you're walking your dog or you're in the gym or in the car, it's perfect and it's worth every minute. And I don't want to spoil too much. I'm just going to say, without further ado, enjoy this beautiful conversation with Emily and me. Welcome to the Female Purpose Podcast.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And prior to this, I was in my favorite coffee spot taking a short break, and I thought about, what am I going to ask Emily? What are we going to talk about? And then I was like, well, whatever. There's so much to talk about. And I want to start with how I came across your work. Now, I remember it was November 2025, and I was doing something I normally don't allow myself to do, which is scrolling on Instagram. So I was lying awake in my bed and I was scrolling. And then there was this video on my Explore page, and it was of a beautiful blonde woman crossing the street on one of my favorite shopping streets in Amsterdam, Utrechtsestraat. And in the background, I saw, and it's crazy, Emily, really, because I saw there's my favorite store, which is the Concerto, which is a record store. So I saw it because it has a very distinctive red front. And I immediately clicked on that reel. And I was like, oh, so this must be somebody living in Amsterdam. And that was pretty much it. And then I landed on your feed and I saw all your juicy content. And I was like, God, how is this person in my head right now? That's exactly what I'm struggling with. And it was honestly, I felt so seen in your content. And at the same time, it was this beautiful imagery, like very nicely curated, a lot of pictures from Amsterdam, which is my favorite city. And so I remember hitting you a DM right on the spot, like it was in the middle of the night. And I said something like, hey, Em, I've been spiraling with my content and I don't feel excited about doing content anymore. Is that something you can help me with? Let me know. So you replied to that, and then a conversation emerged. And then a couple of weeks later, we were sitting together face to face in Amsterdam for a VIP day. And since then, I've been really like changing almost everything about my business. Like the walls and the floor are still the same, of course. I don't believe in necessarily burning everything down. I don't think that's necessary, but I've been changing the interior, let's put it like that. So I have a different language, different course, which is identity shifts. I'm watching like the topics I've been coaching on in the last weeks and not weeks, years, through the perspective of identity shifts, while at the same time I've broadened the scope and so much more and so much more and so much more. But that's not about, it's not about me. I just wanted to ask you, because this example shows like what good content can do. Why is it that that is possible when you really master content? Why is it that I don't have to warm people up? Why is it that you are able to have me land on your feet and then convert instantly?
Well, that's a really good question, obviously. So I think to answer that question, we actually have to go back to the beginning of what you said. You came across one of my reels on the Explore page where I was walking through the streets of Amsterdam. And you want to know what's so funny about this, that you, out of all people, like a true dream client, found that reel, is that before that, I was already good at content, but I have to say most of the content was problem awareness content, showing people where the gap was, very polished. And I didn't really show my life because I really stepped away from what I then called it like influencer content, where I would show my surroundings and my life behind the scenes. And I wanted to position myself more professionally and like this powerful leader. But last year, I went through my own big brand evolution and I realized I'm not really showing me behind the scenes and my life and where I live and what I do and what I enjoy. And there is a middle ground there. So I remember posting that video and being like, oh, I really like it, but maybe it makes me look a little bit like an influencer. I don't know. And then it's so funny that you found that real and that it spoke to you. And it's like, the answer, my answer is actually already in your answer. You saw it, you saw your favorite record shop. And even though it doesn't say, hey, Nicole, here's what you need to do in your content, it stood out to you because it spoke exactly to who you are as a person, as a human behind the brand. And this is something that I have really embodied now and that I do with my clients is like, yes, you post the strategic content, but we're in an era right now where almost 10 out of 10 people know how to post strategic content because we have AI and everyone has like a gazillion content courses. So there's so much beyond the strategy that will actually make the strategy work. So to me, it is really creating this content where you show who you are as a human being and what you enjoy doing. And the funny thing is that probably like mirrored something to you because I know you love interior, you love design, and maybe you didn't show that in your brand and you saw me and you were like, I see her post something that like that's her authentic self. And deep down, whether you were already 100% aware of that or not, there was probably something inside of you that was like, I want that too. And that was the pull.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you said that because now we're diving into like straight into the conversation. But I remember a couple of years ago, I was in a mentorship program, and the people leading it said that, well, there was a review of my content, and they said, well, we see a lot of interior design and we see like horses on your feet. Like, what does that have to do with your work? You should not be posting that. Because ultimately, that's going to confuse your clients. So, what I did, Em, and that's so funny, I stopped posting that. Like, I didn't mention it. I just dimmed it down. I just took it away. And what's even more funny is that back then, a lot of clients coming to me were from the areas of design. Like, I remember I had a lot of architects in my programs. Why? Because they said, well, that resonated with me. Because ultimately, like you said, strategy is the one thing and expertise, but I gave them something to identify with. And then I removed the very thing that they identified with because some other mentor told me that that wasn't right. And now when I saw you posting that, I was like, ah, oh, it actually reminded me of some part of myself that I've buried, and I don't want to do that anymore.
So true. And it's like, it's one of the biggest reasons people buy. And, most of the sales or the actions we take are happening because our subconscious is triggered. It's because we see something in someone that deep down we want, but we're not actually saying we want it yet. And that's actually the activating part. And still, so many people are looking for the perfect strategy or how to say something so people buy. And yes, we do need that. We do need to understand sales psychology. I teach all of that. But the reason why, I hired my previous mentor is also because I saw like something in her, like the way she showed up, like the energy. I was like, I want to show up that way. I want to be that unapologetic. I know that there's parts of me that are still being like nice and professional and showing up a certain way. And we see it and it like we feel the pull. And sometimes it's like we can't put into words why we are attracted to it, because it's, like I said, it's oftentimes subconscious.
Totally. And I want to talk about something that you mentioned just a couple of minutes ago. You said, well, I went through a brand evolution. So last year in 2025, you hit a wall in your business that you didn't see coming. What happened? Let's take a trip down memory lane.
Completely. So, for the people listening who don't know me, I've been doing this work for about 3 years now. I've been an entrepreneur for almost 10 years. I have had multiple, like, different entrepreneurial chapters. And when I started this consulting coaching brand, I hit my first multi-six-figure year in my second year. So that was in 2024. It's like when I became known in the online space, my content started to go viral. I've always been good at content. And at the end of 2024, I was pretty stable. I thought, you know, I've made it. I wear the six-figure, multi-six-figure badge now. I'm part of, like, the club. I have the polished feed. My content is converting. And then it's really funny. So I started traveling with my boyfriend for a month. And what happened was I took this big break from social media because so many people said it's going to be great because when you take this break from the business, you really, like, fill your cup. And then when you come back, you're even more excited. So what actually happened was I came back after a month of almost being completely offline. And I came back and I remember so vividly sitting behind my laptop, looking at my offers, looking at my clients, and I could almost cry. Like, I felt zero connection with my work, with my clients. I was like, who is this person? What have I built? And it was so scary because I was like, this is the year, 2025 is the year I'm gonna build this to, like, 500,000, maybe even 1 million. You know, I really knew where I wanted to go. And I realized those 10K months, 20K months, 30K months at one point were built on other people's rules, other people's rule books. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. I want to be very clear. I really position it sometimes as the villain, but it is okay in the beginning to follow, like, work with people who tell you what you need to do because you need to build the foundation. But it's so important that you don't lose yourself in that process. And for me, that happened in very sneaky ways. I was still doing content. I was absolutely doing what I was good at. But just like you, I'm a creative. I'm a highly curated person. I have a background in design. I studied interior fashion and conceptual brand design. After that, I've worked for creative agencies, really big brands, traveled the world. I've been an illustrator. I've been a photographer. I've been a brand designer. I did all of these things. But then I took on this hat, this identity of now I'm a professional business coach. Now I am this consultant. And people are confused, just like you said, when I talk about, like, design and, you know, brands looking good, because I've been told, and this is the whole thing, because baby coach Emily didn't have that much discernment. She just listened to the people who were further ahead who told me, you can't show up as this creative person because people will be confused. You're going to attract all of these creatives and these people don't have money. And it seeped into my belief system, and then your beliefs impact your actions, and your actions impact your results. And that happened when I wasn't aware. So, what happened was, I came back after this month of traveling. I was sitting with my work, and I had one of my lowest months because things already dipped a little bit during that month when I was gone. So then when I came back, I was like, well, I just want to build my brand. I'm this person who is really good at helping other people build their brands. But what is my brand? What do I present beyond Emily Huberts Consulting, who helps people create converting content so they make 10K months, 20K months, just like every other coach on the internet? And the big lesson here is, you can absolutely hit 10K months. Like, that's the foundation. Like, when you speak to a specific problem and you're clear in your messaging, you show up consistently, like making money on the internet isn't that hard when you do more than the average person. But what's actually hard is to scale beyond that, because then it's about pioneering your own path. Like, you can't scale something that isn't yours. And I had to learn that the hard way. So I took a big income dip because I was like, I can, and I know you've been here too. You can either keep running the programs, because I still had clients in there, I had a low ticket membership. I could still run those programs just so I had the money coming in. But I knew that that would delay my process. So I made a really hard, difficult decision. I was like, I'm going to retire those programs and I'm going to sit with this work for a little while until I know who I am and what I want to build. And then I invested multi-five figures into a mastermind. I hired a VA. I made really big moves because that's who I am. And then when I did that, I expected now is the leap is going to happen. I'm going to change the name. I'm going to up level the messaging. I'm going to increase the prices. I'm going to speak to this new person. And that's going to be my story. My story is going to be Emily retired all of her old programs. She shifted the brand. And then the next month, boom, highest cash months. Well,
Sounds too good to be true.
plot twist, that's not what a brand evolution looks like. That's the story that most people want to hear. What's the one shift you did? What's the one thing you tweaked? What's the like thing you changed in your messaging so you spoke to this one person and then everyone bought? That's not the story. And I was meant to go through that story so I can share and extract all of those lessons, which is what I did. And that is part of my body of work now.
So powerful. And I just want to go back to this, what you said just now. You said, well, there wasn't this big explosion all of a sudden, but what happened then? Because I know your story. And so there was no big explosion. What happened after you made the transition? You introduced your new brand identity, which is the Wild Muse. And then what?
So then, obviously, because I knew where I wanted it to take this. I knew like Br Wild Muse came to me because, and it's funny because there's not even like a really long story behind it. And I think that's what makes it even more powerful, because I truly believe that the best ideas, they just come to you because you allow yourself to move beyond the screen, to actually take a break from it all and zoom out. And it's like you remember who you actually were before, all of the shoulds and all of the things you thought you had to do. So Wild Muse came to me. I knew like this is who I am. I am this creative person. I'm rebellious. Like, I go against what everyone is doing. But I also care about things l looking good. It's like it matters. The visuals matter. So what happened was I didn't have full clarity yet. I had an idea of who I wanted to attract. I had an idea of where I wanted to take it. So I just started to move before the clarity was there. And that can be a messy, bumpy road because it requires you to try different things and not everything will work. But when you put so much pressure on yourself for something to convert, it's not going to work. And that's what I had in that beginning, because I had just made a huge leap, like investing a lot of money, hiring a team member, like going all in. I was like, well, 50K months, like done easy. And when like the first launch didn't go that well, I started to freak out a little bit. And this is the work or the story that I want to share with so many people, because this matters so much. And this is the real identity shift. It's like, when you feel shame for your results, when you put so much pressure on things to convert and you don't get the results, and therefore you don't see yourself as someone who is qualified, that's the actual reason that things aren't working. And it's not actually the strategy or the content. So there were months where I was looking for what's missing. Is my messaging not specific enough? Or maybe it's the offer, when actually it was my leadership. I was still hiding certain truths, or when people didn't buy, I was just like hiding that a little bit because there was shame, because there was like judgment, and because my ego was still like massively in the way. And I had to go through that challenge and through that evolution so I could actually lead with truth, because I remember it was like end of summer of 2025 when I was done. I was like, okay, I tried a lot of things now. I know who I am. I know where I want to take this, but somehow it doesn't land. And it's not the messaging. It's not because I've worked on that with experts myself. I'm really good at this. And then I realized I'm not sharing the whole truth. I'm not sharing what's actually happening behind the scenes. I'm not being the 100x embodiment of the wild muse. And this is it. Like, this really is it. You can say what you stand for. You can say why people need to work with you. You can say it in so many ways, in a perfect way. But if people don't feel it, if they don't actually see you live it, they can sense that something is off. And that's what was actually happening. Like, in hindsight, the gap or what happened back then is really clear. But when I was in it, it was really hard to put my finger on it because I still thought that something was missing. And this is what I now see with a lot of my clients and the people who come into my world, is like, they come to me and they're like, there's a gap in my messaging. Can you look at my messaging? I think we need to work on that. I'm like, yeah, sure, but I think we need to look at like who you are being behind the scenes and who you really were before all of this, and then actually showing that person and that version of you online.
So what you're saying is actually there was a gap in your leadership, not in your messaging. And that is the real identity shift. I think that's such a powerful message because, and I mean, you and I have been talking about this a lot. A lot of people, especially women going through big transitions, are like they are in the spiral of looking for what is missing. And I've been there too, and I know you have too, because I mean, we're ambitious women, we want to bring things forward, we want to, expand our businesses. So we start looking outside of us for answers, for strategies, for five-step frameworks, for whatever. And that's a point I arrive at many times with my clients too. Then when all of that is done, when we've, gone on that route for a while, we're like, oh, but then there's only one thing left, and that is actually me. And that can be a very scary and also raw place to be looking at, okay, how am I actually showing up and how am I actually leading myself? So what I would like to know is, what did you do? Like, what did you change in your leadership? Do you have a couple of examples what you shifted after this realization really landed with you?
There's a couple of things I shifted that like turned everything around for me. So the first thing was to lead with truth. And funnily enough, it was something that I said since the beginning. Like, truth and transparency is a core value in my world. And it's not like I was lying. I've never been someone who makes up shit online to make the transformation or the result look better. But it wasn't like I was sharing everything, and I had to learn what that had to look like for me because, again, it's really important that people get this. Leading with truth doesn't mean that you have to share, number one, every facet of your personal life or every challenge or every little nitty-gritty of what's happening, but it's about like, are you actually sharing how you're leading yourself, the decisions, but also the challenges that are really happening behind the scenes? Or are you kind of hiding it and you do it out of shame? And I think it's that. So I became aware of, okay, there are certain things I'm not sharing because I'm afraid of, and this is the whole thing around shame. People, most people, and that was me back then, are so afraid of, but if I share that people didn't buy or that my content isn't converting, will they still see me as the authority?
Oh,
You
yeah.
know? And that was the thing because, just like many people in the online space, we've all been taught and brainwashed that the authority means that you are perfect. You are the full embodiment of the transformation, which means that you have all of the answers. And that puts so much pressure on us when, which then actually doesn't make us great leaders and mentors. So I had to really learn, what does it look like for me and what parts do I want to share? So I started to open up about what was actually happening, about the shift I made, and that I retired my programs, and how hard it was, and the lessons, and how I was, looking for, well, who is my dream client? Who is this match? Who do I want to be working with? I just started to share about my daily thoughts and the things I was doing and how I was moving. And that already then started to attract a different type of client. Like I remember seeing that shift in the type of people who started to follow me. Then the other thing was because I remembered who I actually was before I became Emily Huberts Consulting and I put myself in this box of I'm now this business consultant. I remembered like I'm a creative person. I'm really good at content. I'm really good at visuals. I'm really good at visibility as well. Like I know how to stand out through messaging and visuals and make sure that they amplify each other. So I just remembered who I actually was and I went back to that. And it's so funny because I thought, oh, content, that's not high level. Like content, if I teach content, it's going to attract, beginner people who don't want to put in the work because that's the evidence I had. And that's what some people on the internet said. It's like, no, you need to talk about leadership and identity. Content, like people know how to create content by now, which isn't true because I've worked with seven-figure business owners and they're already great, but there's always gaps in their content. So I just reminded myself, okay, I need to double down on my genius. And that's when I introduced Allure. So I was like, okay, back then I had a content program called Content That Creates Cash. Very service level name. I just created it because it was converting and people were like, you need a clear name that speaks to an outcome.
Yes. I
But
like the name though, I
it,
have to admit.
I like it was clear, but it was not like representing the depth of the work I did anymore. And that's when I thought with, okay, maybe I don't need to like pivot, but it's just like I take the work that already exists and I just refine it a little bit. It's not like we have to pivot, and that's a whole other conversation, but so many people call it a pivot when it's not really a pivot. It's actually just a brand evolution and a brand rebirth. So to recap, it was leading with truth. It was doubling down on my true zone of genius. And the third thing was like leadership, like actually leading yourself behind the scenes, actually being real with yourself. And that's what you already mentioned. It's the hardest work, and it's the work that most people want to skip.
Absolutely, and I find myself wanting to skip that sometimes. I think everybody does because it's hard. It's exhausting at times. But I want to come back to something you said because I think it's so important, and that is the topic authority. Because I've been talking about that with a lot of clients, and I think the thing that makes you want to hide what you're going through is exactly what you said before. Like, well, if I share this, if I share that my content is not converting right now, if I share that I'm a career coach, but I'm in a career transition myself and I'm struggling with it, well, then that will make me less of an authority when actually, that's what I think at least, and I would love your opinion on it. When I look for people to work with, and I've invested well over six figure into mentoring and coaching by now, I always look for people who have lived. I look for people who have had very high highs and very low lows because I know that especially the valleys, especially the lows, especially that dry period in the desert, because that's what a client said to me yesterday. That is actually what shows you who you are, and that is actually where the leadership and the authority comes from in the first place. Because if everything was just great all the time, well, where would you actually then develop your true wisdom? Where would actually your grit come from? Where would actually your teachings that are so uniquely you, where would they even come from? I wouldn't know because if everything was just fine all the time, well, I wouldn't be sitting here and you wouldn't either. So I would love to know when you work with people around the topic of authority and they have this belief that, well, if I drop the curtain, then people are not going to take me for the leader that I am. What is something you do with them to shift that into saying, well, no, actually, they're going to hire me because of the dips. They're going to hire me because of the lows and how I let myself through those periods.
What I do on a lot of my calls, I always ask, well, who would you hire? Like, there's Coach A and there's Coach B. Like, they both have the same testimonials, the same transformation, the same sales page, the same Instagram feed, like all of that. But coach number A has a perfect journey. Like, she's only hitting high cash months. She is only here to give you the step by step of like how she does it. And everyone in her world is winning. And she never went through a challenge. Like, she's like, I've always been going up, up, up. And that's what I'm gonna help you go through too. And then there's coach number B or number two. She has great results, but then she has also gone through a lot of challenges, and she had to go through a lot of reinvention seasons. And a couple of months ago, she like something really bad happened, and she started to share that and what actually happened behind the scenes and how she led herself and the decisions she made. Like, who would you hire? And always, like, everyone always says, well, coach B, number two. I'm like, yes. And then why? So when I ask them why, they start to explain the reasons they would buy from someone, because it is those lessons. It is like, we want to see people actually go through that. And then, of course, we want to see how they go to the other side. But it's so important that we don't forget what we have already achieved. And it's just so crazy. I think, especially in the online coaching industry, we somehow get so attached to like the short term, like, what your income is this month or this week or this day, and then make it mean so much when, this is my fourth business. And because of this industry, sometimes I forgot that I have already built successful brands, that I have literally spoken on stages, I have been featured in magazines, so many of those things. But it's almost like, oh, that's in the past. That doesn't matter. It's about the results we have now, because that's what we're selling now. And I think like that's there's it's just a really weird energy, because at the end of the day, being the authority or being actually able to serve people at a high level, to me, it means that you're actually equipped to, and that you're skilled to serve the other person. And yes, you need to be in the embodiment. Yes, your own results matter. But don't we all have like experiences where we bought from people just because of their income? And then we were
Yes.
working with them, and then we're like, okay, it's good, but maybe it's not like the best service, or it's not what we expected. And this is something I think is so important to remember.
I agree. And I want to talk to you about something that I would call the gap. So, the gap between your results, let's say income, revenue, clients, followers, whatever you choose, and your effort, because I saw one of your posts the other day about that. And this is the space a lot of women get stuck in. Like, okay, I'm doing all these things. I'm posting, I'm selling, I'm like checking off the boxes, but nothing is moving. And I'm getting frustrated because I realize there's a huge gap between what I'm actually doing, how I'm showing up in my day-to-day life, and what I'm earning. What would you say to somebody coming with a big fat frustration saying, Emily, I don't know what to do. Like, I've done everything. Like, I'm done now. Like, what should I be doing to really increase my revenue and close that gap? And also, which is the most or more important question, how to get rid of that frustration?
This is what I help women with all of the time. And it's also why I've been sharing it a lot in my content lately, because I feel like, I don't know what it is, maybe this year, but I'm hearing it more than ever before. So usually when someone comes to me and they say, well, I'm doing everything right, I'm working harder than anyone I know, but my income just doesn't reflect it. And of course it's frustrating, because it is like, you deserve to work with so many more people and make the impact, because usually the people who come to me, and like including you, have like more integrity than most people, have the biggest heart, have a really big purpose. And it's part of my why. It's like, okay, I want to help those women who are actually masters at their craft, who actually care about their clients, who actually want to make an impact in this world, make sure that they actually, get that income and get those clients versus, a lot of people in this space who are just genius marketers, but maybe they don't care as much. So what I usually do is, and there's no cookie cutter advice here, but what I see with most women is they're doing everything right. They're posting, they're selling, they're launching, they're even doing podcasts, they're making themselves visible. But here's the thing. They're doing it from this place of going through the motions. I'm doing this because I need to convert. I'm doing this masterclass this month because then I upsell them into my mastermind. I'm posting today because I'm doing this posting challenge and I tick off the box and then I do everything right. So, yes, they're doing everything. And most of the time when I look at their content, it's not even bad. Like, I see the opinions, I can see the leadership. So it's like they're doing these things. But the whole difference is, and I'm just going to share a different scenario and then you can close that gap, or I can close that gap, is like you can do that, or you can move from this place of, I am creating something that is going to be so life-changing. Like, I'm so obsessed with this. I don't know. I have this idea in mind. I already see the branding in front of me, and I just know exactly who this is for and how it can transform their lives. And I'm just going to start teasing it already. And I'll share something in my stories today. And tomorrow I'll do this. And it's like this energy behind it of, I can't wait for people to get inside of this offer, masterclass, training, Telegram, whatever it is. And there's this energy behind it of like, there's like, I'm powerful and I'm excited and I'm capable and I can actually help people. And from that place, I'm going to post. And from that place, I'm going to make a move. And this is what I call like the wild muse moves. What I do with my clients is like, sure, you work hard, but we constantly check in from what place are you taking this action? And there is actually a really big difference, even though on paper it looks the same. So I'll give you an example to make it more tangible. So a client inside of my mastermind a couple of weeks ago said, okay, I have this masterclass and this is the name and this is this. And she started talking about it, but I didn't see anything like in her eyes. So she wanted me to look at the sales page. And I was like, no. We're not going to go to the sales page yet. Like, tell me about this offer. Why are you launching it this month or this masterclass? And she was like, well, so I need a couple more people in this one-to-one offer and then this new mini mind I'm going to launch and blah, 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 blah. And she started talking about it. And I could instantly tell, like, I won't say her name, but I said, like, you know what? I can look at your sales page, but it's not going to make a difference. She's like, well, but just look at the sales page, look at the messaging. I'm like, no. From what place do you want to launch this offer? And then I asked her a couple of questions and she became aware of, like, oh, yeah, I'm just launching it because I think it's what will convert. Like, do you want to run it this way? Do you want to do like a 2-week event with all these calls and all these things? Do you want that? And I could already tell the answer was no. And the whole difference is sometimes when clients actually do blow up and they get insane results, what I see is like when they're on my calls, it's like their eyes, they light up. There's like this energy, they sit more like their shoulders are back and their chin is up and like they're speaking with their hands and it's like this energy behind it. And I know this isn't new to you, but this is literally the answer. It's not the actual actions. It is doing those things, but are you going through the motions or are you actually excited because you're building something that's you, that's so you that you feel like this is going to be a masterpiece.
And then magic happens. And I want to talk about something that is also part of the process of a brand evolution, and that is actually growing out of your audience. That's a big one. It's been a big one for me, it's been a big one for you, and it's been a big one for pretty much every woman going through a brand evolution. What are the things you see also when working with your clients that can be super tricky about this topic?
Yeah, there's a lot of like conversation on social media around you're like, you don't need to be more visible. Like, your dream client is already within your audience. And you just need to activate her. Like, I believe that's true, yes. But I also believe that sometimes in some situations, and I've been there, it's like, sure, they're there, but the majority of your audience was actually built on a previous identity. They started following you for different reasons. And you're kind of like used to that old audience. And what I see with a lot of people is they still start pleasing the old audience because they know that's who they've seen in their DMs and in their stories. And they're like, well, where is this new like dream human being, dream client that I want to call in? And sometimes it's like, yeah, it could be true that there are not that many of them in your audience. And then I literally say to my clients, well, let's change the audience. Let's just rebuild, because it's about where you're going and only being focused on that, and then who is ready to come with you, and everything else and everyone else, like every unsubscribe, every unfollow is like literally in naturally a natural filtering process that you need to be okay with. Like, you need to be so secure in where it is that you're going and who you want to come with you. And everyone else is just, it's just noise. But this is also something that you just need to go through, because I remember about a year ago that when I, shifted and I started to introduce Wild Muse and what it was about, there were a couple of people in my DMs that were literally like, they were mad.
Oh, wow.
I never get those people, but it did so much to me. And it's now, if I get a message like that, like, I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's you. And then I move on. Like, it nothing happens. Like, I'm so neutral. But a year ago, it impacted me so much because I was like, oh, I can't let them down. And you know why this often happens? It is because, and it's super logical if you think about it, those people, they got you to where you are. So, yes, of course, it's normal that you feel attached to them and that you're grateful, and you should be. But then it's also about, now I'm deciding that I'm grateful for all of these people, this audience, but I'm moving on. And the people who can come with me, they can come with me, and everyone else, it's none of my concern. It's not your job to convince them, to influence them, to make them move with you. And this is where people leak so much energy, is they try to get everyone along and like convince people, and that's just really exhausting. So my advice would really be like, only focus on who you are, where it is that you're going, and speaking to the people who are ready to come with you. And everything else is just distractions, it's just noise, and it's a huge energy leak.
So, when you rebuilt your brand last summer and you started attracting a different type of client, what would you say is the biggest difference between your perfect match client today and the type of woman or man that you attracted 2 years ago?
So here's the biggest difference. Number one, when I say high level clients, high caliber clients, dream clients, all in clients, whatever I say, I don't mean people who are like millionaires or are earning more than other people or who are known or have big following. I am talking about people who get it, like people who understand what it actually takes to build a long-term sustainable brand, who want to go big, who already believe in themselves, who understand how to utilize mentorship and guidance and all of that. And I feel like in the early days, there was like a time in my life where I had 11 one-on-one clients at the same time. Don't ask me how. I was doing calls all day
Oh, I
long, all
had these
day.
times too.
And all of these clients, and you know what's funny, you know why I could do so many of these calls? Because 10 out of 10 of these people, they were not actually doing the work. So they would all come to the calls Every week it would be like, oh, I didn't have time to post content because my son was sick, and then I had to go to the dentist, and or oh, I was just so stuck, or I've been like, there was always something, and I would just go through, wait until the time was over. Like, I'm not kidding. I love these people because they wanted it, but they were never the right fit, and it was never their fault. It was 100% me, my messaging, my marketing that was speaking to a client who was looking for the way of least resistance. The people who wanted to hit the 5-figure months, because this was literally on my sales page and in my content. Here's how to become the authority, and here's exactly what hooks you should use, and copy my hooks, and I'll tell you exactly what you need to post. We can work for 3 months together in my one-on-one program, and I'll tell you exactly what you need to do, and then you're going to hit 10K months. That was my messaging. And of
Sounds
course,
fantastic.
that attracted a certain type of client. Well, I wasn't working with these people all of the time. I've absolutely worked with incredible humans. Also, in 2024, I had an offer called Personal Brand Academy back then, and the women inside were just incredible women. I've met some of them in person and I loved it. But it's just that back then, my messaging and my content was mainly speaking to people who wanted the result. But in my content, I wasn't actually sharing how they would get there, the work that would go into building this brand. And now I do the opposite. I talk more about how hard it is. Like, some things aren't fun, but this also attracts a person who actively seeks challenge, who is like, I want to go through discomfort. Like, I want to do things that scare me. And I am already that type of person, but I know I'm kind of like avoiding it. And there's just certain gaps, and I just need someone who can really call me out on my own bullshit, and who is real and raw and direct, because I'm real and raw direct, but I'm also super kind and empathetic.
I can confirm that. Last question, Em. Let's talk about playing too small because I joined your brand activation challenge, Expand Your Brand. And I must say, for everybody listening, and that's like my honest opinion, I get more out of it than I have gotten from one or the other, high-level mastermind because it's just so on point, so activating. Like the prompts you gave us, they were not like, okay, just follow my framework, but they really got me thinking about, okay, how do I want to show up? And so thank you for that. But one of the narratives in there is really around playing too small. And I love something you said because I was like, yeah, check. Of course. A lot of women are so frustrated because of their results. So too little revenue, not the right clients. Insert your example here. And you said, but oh, well, that's not the real reason. Because the real reason, if you were honest, is you're frustrated because you know deep down you're playing too small. So could you please say more about that? What do you mean when you say that?
Especially the women who know they're meant for so much more, who have seen the evidence, because they've been in the masterminds, they've been in the rooms, they know it's so possible, but they're just frustrated. And I've 100% been here, is because you are self-sabotaging. So it's like, you know that, okay, that launch maybe flopped, or it didn't get the result that you wanted. And it was because halfway through, you kind of pulled the plug in sneaky ways, or you kind of like stopped talking about it, or you maybe send out like 6 emails, but then with email number 7, you were like, no one really clicked the link in the previous email, so I don't want to be annoying, and no one is joining anyway, so I'll just, I'll skip sending this email. And it's those little things where you're actually lying to yourself, and you think, oh, you know what? Next month, then I'll start over. And this is the self-sabotage that happens time and time again, because people are scared of disappointments. And it hurts. And because people avoid pain, because it's like how we're wired as human beings, we want to avoid it. You are massively capping yourself. And I think the person listening to this is already very emotionally mature. So it's like, we know this. Like, I already knew this last year, and yet I was playing small because I have been through that pain and I didn't want to go through it again. But the only reason, and maybe your question is like, well, how do you get out of it then? The only reason is at one point to just really sit down, like put these two things. I always pretend like there's this scale where on the one side, like there is like this disappointment of it not working. And on the other side, there's like, but what if, this could be your best month, like this possibility. And I think it's, we are entrepreneurs and we always need to, look at, but what is possible? What if it works out? What if it's my best month ever? And it's really that, it's like that frustration of knowing that you could have done so much more, but you didn't. And then there were always like these excuses of, oh, but I didn't want to sell too many things at once because my audience is confused. And it's like still playing by these beliefs that you have. And it's like you need to like get rid of them because last year, when I had my program Allure, I made a decision or a promise with myself. I said to myself, Emily, you are gonna sell this program so much that you are gonna get sick of it, that you can't hear the name one more time, that you're gonna look at the sales page again and you're gonna feel the urge to change the messaging again, but it's only because you've looked at it so many times.
I love that.
And that's when, and I remember people who I've been like connected to for a really long time, who are always the first ones opting in. Like we all have those warm people in our communities. In the like when we already started, she was like, "Oh, I didn't know you were running this program." I was like, "Wait, what?" I sent up like, I'm not kidding. I sent up like 20 or 30 emails on this one program, like daily
Whoa.
stories, like so much more, and then it sold out, and I was like, the old me, the old identity, the old version of me at the beginning of last year, she would have stopped like as soon as whatever the result wasn't there, or like there was some sort of like disappointment. And it's like when you prove yourself that you do more than you actually can, or you constantly stretch yourself over and over and over again, then this frustration will be gone, and then also the results will be a byproduct of that. So yeah, I think it's that.
I totally agree. And I think so many women are scared to stretch themselves because we have this narrative like, well, you should not do too much and you should be like a soft girl and you should lean back and be in your feminine. And I think it's rubbish because I think the most feminine thing to do is actually to create. And the only times I've been miserable in my business was when I was actually pulling back. And when I wasn't allowing myself to play full out or go all in, and that made me so anxious. Like, oh God, like, oh, we could be talking about that for hours, but we have to come to an end. So I want to acknowledge you, Emily, for doing what you do because you're an absolute genius, really. And you
Thank
have
you.
helped me so much. I have you in my ear every day. I don't even know if you know that, but you're in my ear every
I
day.
don't. And this is the whole thing. Like, oftentimes we don't even realize the impact we have on other people. And
True.
it's just, yeah. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And then we talk soon.
I bet you get so much value out of this interview. And if you want to connect with Emily, just go to her Instagram at Emily Huberts. I've tagged it in the show notes and say hi, and you'll find her programs and ways to work with Emily there.